Together, the nature of baptism as it's printed there at the bottom, beginning at the bottom of page 7. The nature of baptism. What is baptism? Which is that word of God? About infant baptism, the Large Catechism says this. Here a question arises by which the devil, through his sex, confuses the world. Infant baptism. Let the simple dismiss this question from their minds, refer it to the learned. Outside of confirmation classes, that's where I've tried to leave it, but it won't be left. You ask yourself, why are babies to be baptized? Not having an answer or having an incorrect one takes away from baptism being an aid to faith and answers to life. The downright wrong answer to the question is they're not to be baptized. They're not to be baptized because, well, there's no explicit biblical command to baptize babies. Well, if an explicit command is necessary, then men and women along with infants can't be baptized. None of them are specifically mentioned in the command to baptize, just the generic command, baptize all nations. The second wrong answer is they're not to be baptized because Jesus wasn't baptized as an infant, but as an adult. First, Jesus didn't command baptism till after his resurrection. Second, if the standard is, if Jesus did it, you must too, then good luck with getting yourself baptized in the Jordan River, and even better luck getting yourself baptized by John the Baptist. The third wrong answer is they're not because only Catholics baptize babies. Make that a small c on Catholic, and you are right. The church at all times and every place has always baptized babies. That was absolutely true until 1525. So that means if baptizing babies is contrary to God's word, for 1,500 years the Lord left his church in this error till the Anabaptists arose and taught against it. But even after 500 years of them teaching against infant baptism, 1.6 billion out of 2 billion Christians still do. That's 80%. They aren't to be baptized is the wrong answer to why babies are to be baptized. The question itself, however, is also wrong. Rather than putting the majority on the defensive, proving babies are to be baptized, the proper question is, why aren't they? Aren't babies part of all nations? Even if you take this as Jesus referring to every nation, aren't babies part of every nation? When talking about the population of a nation, unless you explicitly exclude babies, you always include them. Second, the only time the word indignant is ever used of Jesus and it is when his disciples prevent mothers from bringing their little ones to him. Jesus commands the disciples to stop it. Jesus is indignant against any church or person who gets in the way of the little ones being brought to him. Why aren't babies to be baptized? Aren't they in need of what baptism gives? Or was David only talking about himself when he said in Psalm 51, "In sin did my mother conceive me"? Doesn't the Bible say, "There is none righteous, no, not one"? Doesn't it also say, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God"? The only way you can get around babies needing the forgiveness of sins found in baptism is if you read your Bible with asterisks. when it says none are righteous, none are guiltless, all have sinned, you must see an asterisk there in the text and make a mental footnote. None are righteous except babies. None are guiltless except babies. All have sinned except those who have not reached the age of accountability. See, many confuse the laws of men with that of God. American jurisprudence does have an age of accountability. A 2-year-old cannot be guilty of murder even if he pulls the trigger. But God can say Jacob and Esau are guilty of fighting in the womb. Furthermore, if babies were sinless before God, none would ever die. But we all know they do. The first time baptism is publicly preached, children are specifically mentioned. It's Pentecost. The law has convicted the crowd for crucifying Jesus. Some in this crowd were there when Pilate proclaimed he was innocent of Jesus' blood. And some of them had cried out, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." So when they asked what they should do about their terrible sin of crucifying Jesus, Peter replied not only that they should repent and be baptized, but that the promise is for you and for your children. What a relief. Why aren't babies to be baptized? Can't they believe? How dreadful it would be if children could not believe. In that case, they could not be saved. Salvation's only through faith. Also, doesn't Jesus say, one of these little ones who believe in me? Little ones there is the word mikros, which refers to a class of children under the age of 4. According to both Hebrew and Old Testament usage, it has special reference to infants. Jesus says in another place that out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, God brings forth praise. It's impossible to praise God without faith. Finally, far from raising doubts about babies being able to believe, Jesus makes their faith the example, saying, unless you receive the kingdom as a little child, you can't receive it at all. In this matter of baptizing babies, there are wrong answers, there are wrong questions, and there are very wrong assumptions. And here we're at the theme of our sermon series. Wrong assumptions about baptizing babies takes away from baptism aiding the faith of adults and answering their questions. It's sort of like that commercial on TV now, where the father's taking his preteen son someplace special and the kid is just bored. The father takes him to a field where there's a white-bearded man feeding reindeer. One of them comes right up to the boy and then takes off flying. The message of the commercial is, don't miss the magic of Christmas. The truth is, don't let wrong assumptions about baptism cause you to miss the miracle. If you assume faith, believing, is cognition, consciousness, decision, or choice, then I hope you never get Alzheimer's, never die in your sleep, never die under sedation. In all of those cases, you will not respond if someone asks you, do you believe Jesus is your Savior? But if faith is a miracle, grander and greater than flying reindeer, then it's a totally another matter. You Lutherans should have no problems with this, for you confess in the explanation to the third article of the Creed, you believe that by your own reason and strength, you cannot believe in Jesus or come to Him. If you can say, I believe, I can't believe on my own, as an adult, why is faith any more of a miracle in a baby? I say it's less of a miracle. It takes far less to bring a malleable baby to faith than an intractable adult. Faith is miracle, not choice, not decision. Miracles are God's domain, not man's. And contrary to what many assume, baptism is not man's work, but God's. Because baptism is God's work is why Luther saw no need to discuss the problem of infant baptism. God's activity in baptism preceded all human actions, so God working in infants needed no more defense than God working in adults did. To be baptized in God's name is to be baptized not by men, but by God Himself. Parents will introduce kids to me with, "He baptized you." Or adults will say to me, "I was baptized Catholic, Methodist, etc." No, I didn't baptize you. God did. And you weren't baptized into anything other than the Holy Christian Church. Viewing baptism as the work of man and not God is like thinking it's up to men to get reindeer off the ground. There would have been no wonder and awe in the boy if he had seen Santa catapulting reindeer into the sky to make them fly. Likewise, there's no wonder and awe for you in baptism if you think you must do something to make it fly. In infant baptism, you can see it's God that must be doing everything. He puts the waters of baptism containing the holy life Jesus lived and the horrible death He died in place of that child onto that child. In infant baptism, you clearly see what part you play in salvation. None, nil, nada. And that's an aid to faith that is always tempted to believe it needs to do something to complete being saved. You can do in rebirth nothing more than you did in birth. Infant baptism must be retained for the sake of bringing our little ones to Jesus. But when we're fuzzy about it, we're fuzzy about seeing baptism as answers for our own life. That would be like the boy getting to the field and not clearly seeing the reindeer take flight. He gets no awe, no comfort, no answers about Christmas. Infant baptism emphasizes the firstness of God in your life. Be your life good, bad, or ugly, healthy, sick, happy, or sad. God is first. Being acted upon by God, even before you know what is going on, emphasizes the firstness of God. God entered your life before you had a care, let alone a question in the world. God not only created you in the womb of your mother, but took you out of the baptismal font as a recreated person. There's a reason Scripture continually recalls us to being children. Go back to that time when not only did you believe that reindeer really fly, but that God knew more than you, loved you more than you loved yourself, and could do far more than you asked or even thought. Let infant baptism answer your life questions. We say in our confession, being offered to God through baptism, children are received into God's grace. They're not received into His law, let alone His judgment. They're received into His grace. They're put into the realm where mightier, more wonderful things happen than flying reindeer. They're put into the realm where God can remember sins no more. They're put into the realm where God uses earthly water to wash away stains on souls. They're put into the realm where He gives His body for bread and His blood for wine. The newly baptized baby doesn't cognitively know all this, but you do. There are assumptions in Reformed theology that keep baptism from answering life questions. They refuse to connect the Word to that water. They'll point you to God's Word for answers, but never ever to your baptism where God's Word is joined to physical water. As sure as that baptismal water touched your body, so sure did His forgiveness, so sure did His Spirit, so sure did new life touch your body. And since that is true of a helpless infant, it's true for adults. Here's the answer when you're up against the wall and have no idea what to do. Rest as secure in the water of your baptism as a baby does on his mother's lap, and defy sin, death, or the devil himself to remove you. Infant baptism shows that God's great power and total grace are still on earth today. This in turn makes baptism an aid to the faith of adults and answers many of our questions, and gives us two more. Why couldn't reindeer fly? And why wouldn't babies be baptized? Amen. We can